Well, if you would turn in Matthew's Gospel to Matthew chapter 2. And Matthew chapter 2, we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 23. And Matthew chapter 2, these are God's words. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, and he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets: "He shall be called a Nazarene." And those are God's words. In the humiliation of the God-man, Jesus Christ our Savior, here we see very clearly the sufferings He went through. Even of the earliest of ages, when the Lord guided Joseph and Mary and the Savior to safety in Egypt to all bring about the promises fulfilled. And not only that, Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, another fulfillment. He would go to Egypt. And in that time, Herod killed all the male children who were born in and around Bethlehem from 2 years old and younger. And when Herod died, then the Lord called Jesus and his family out of Egypt, and they went to Nazareth, again to fulfill the promises about him. Beloved, our Savior, in his humiliation, suffered greatly, even from the earliest of ages. He, the God-man, is the fulfillment of all the promises concerning the Messiah. and all here must believe on Him to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. That's the promise. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise, thanking You for Your Word. We're thankful for the Gospel of Jesus Christ, including not only His birth that we heard in Matthew chapter 1, but now here even the promises fulfilled and His suffering in the midst of His humiliation here on the earth, of His going, being forced to go to Egypt, and then coming, returning back after Herod's death, and going to Nazareth, where we remember that the saying from the people there, or from the people, what good can come from Nazareth? And Father, we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful that He is the Christ, the Messiah, of which all the promises of the Old Testament are fulfilled in Him. We're thankful, as we'll study this evening, the ceremonial worship, that all the ceremonial worship is fulfilled in Him, and which pointed to Him and foreshadowed Him. And now, Father, we're thankful that we do not have that ceremonial worship which has been abrogated, but now we have that worship that is simple, that is looking back to Christ, but also forward to eternity when we will be with Him forever and ever. On this, the Sabbath day, when we are to keep, have that Sabbath keeping, from Hebrews 4:9, and yet still in that same chapter, we know that there is an eternal Sabbath awaiting us, Your people in glory. And so there is a Sabbath keeping for the people of God that remains. And so, Father, help us to be those who keep the Sabbath, keep the fourth commandment. And then, Father, we're thankful for the church. We're thankful for this time that we are able to meet when so many others throughout the world are unable to meet or have chosen not to meet. And Father, we're thankful that You bring us together and You call us to worship You. And Father, help us to continually look where all our hope is found and our comfort found in Christ alone. Our righteousness alone found in Him. And so, Father, we ask now that You would turn us and our sins to You, back to You. We plead that You would be with us and provide for all our needs. Make us as a congregation to be good stewards of all that You've given to us, not only in gifts that have come by measure of grace from You, but all that we have in the world too. May we use our homes and the things You give us to glorify You and bring about even more in service to the kingdom, to bring about growth of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the church would spread throughout the world to all nations and all peoples and all tongues and all tribes. Father, we ask that You would be with those congregations in our presbytery without a minister of the gospel. We ask that You would be with Columbia and Denison and congregations like this, even in Casper, Wyoming. Though that we are thankful there is a minister as a stated supply there. We pray that a full-time minister would come and be called soon in these places, despite our current circumstances, which seem to hinder the calling of ministers. Father, put it on the hearts of the elders and the people to call the one whom You are calling to those congregations. Father, be with those churches throughout our denomination which are meeting or trying to meet by various means. Father, we ask that You would also continue them and not allow churches to die even through these circumstances we are in. Father, we receive Your discipline that You have brought, and we ask that You would make us to be a humble people, ready to look unto ourselves and see our sin, that we might look unto Christ and see His righteousness and follow after Him. That we would repudiate our own sin and hate it and love right the righteousness of Your Son. Father, help us as we worship You. We know that in our hearts or in things we do, we might sin against you, and we probably will sin against you. Father, show mercy, for we are weak, but you are strong. And even in your Son, Jesus Christ, our advocate before you, Father, receive our worship as he perfects it, as even we prayed this morning. Father, begin be with those who are struggling in body. We're thankful again for reports of people in our congregation feeling better. We ask that you would be with them and continue their good health. We ask that you would heal those with long-term ailments and bodily muscles or bones that have been struggling for quite some time. Father, give them your strength, a strength that only comes from you and the healing that only comes from you. And so we plead for your grace upon them. And then, Father, we pray, as we pray for our government this morning, we pray for our state government, especially here and both states that we represent. And Father, we ask that you would be with the governors, especially who are making executive orders, and health commissioners and county commissioners and all of them, Father, that are making difficult decisions in these days. Father, we pray that your worship would not be put down, though, and that you would show mercy there, and you would rebuke the governors or commissioners who would try to shut up your people and not allow them to assemble together. Father, we ask for mercy again in this, and your grace to be upon us, for we are undeserving of all and anything that is good. And so shower us with your grace because of your Son and for his sake, for his glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.